Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 118 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Vila, and I'm here with Hannah Rago today, actually, which you might notice is a little bit different. So if you heard my voice in the beginning of this and you're used to hearing Mark Stevenson, that's why. So we're going to do something a little bit different today and bring some expertise of Hannah Rago here. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what this episode is going to be about?
Yeah, so Mark thought it would be a really good idea to talk about social media and just some a little bit over basic social media skills that can really bring your business to the next level. And I do a lot of our behind the scenes in our groups, our Facebook groups. So he thought, why not bring me on to talk to you guys a little bit?
Yeah. And social media will bring out, can bring out the best in your business's personality, who it is, who you are, if you're more directly involved, or other folks in your business, if you have employees or partners that you work with. But social media can also bring out the worst, and it can actually make your business look worse, right?
Sure, absolutely.
And we're going to go ahead and talk today about what I kind of consider like are the initial steps of nailing down your stellar social media skills. It's not necessarily about building followers and things like that specifically. It's more of just how to nail things down to make your business, to make social media work for your business rather than against it. So, Hannah, why don't you start us off with, we're talking about some of the different social channels. So start us off with Facebook and kind of break down.
Absolutely. So this was something, it sounded weird in my head, but when you think about it, it really makes sense. So basically on Facebook, you have a profile. In best practice, is your profile should really be you. It should be a person. It should be a human. It should have a face to it. That's really your personality, I think, behind your Facebook.
Yeah, and this is specifically, this is, and everyone listening probably does have a Facebook page already, but if you don't, and you're finally going to do it because you're reluctantly going to do it for your business, you set up a Facebook page that's you. When you go to Facebook and it says sign up and it asks for information, it's your name, your email address, and a picture of you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then with your profile, which is you, that's when you make your business page. So that page is for your business. And that's where you can write your business information, have your logo, the basics. But then your business page is what makes Facebook groups.
Yeah. So there we go. So and Facebook is really promoting groups. There's even TV commercials.
Right. No, I see them all the time.
And this is, if you're in the custom apparel startups group, or you're probably in other groups, so you may be familiar already, but a group is typically managed by either a person or a business, but for the sake of what we're doing here, you want your business to kind of have the group.
Right. And then as your profile, that's where the personality comes from. Mm-hmm. So when you write your posts and whatnot on your group, it's nice to have your name attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And talking about this stuff right here is important because we've mentioned it again on the podcast some time ago. But it's against Facebook terms of service for a profile to not be a person.
Right.
Which means you'll wake up in the morning and your Facebook page will be deleted, gone. And it doesn't matter if you've had it for 10 years or 2 days. And I may have even talked about this in the podcast before, but a friend of mine created a secondary Facebook page.
Okay.
Profile. And he created it, I'm protecting the identities of the innocent. Tom at so-and-so sales, right? So he put his first name and then he put name of his company sales.
Right.
And he was going to use this to help sell online in groups because he didn't want to connect his personal Facebook page to it. And I was like, I don't know, dude. I really think that Facebook can knock this down. I've heard of this. No, my wife's been doing it like 6 years. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just saying. Well, a week goes by And he, you know, comes in, you know, it comes in, talks to me, and he's like, they shut me. I can't believe it. My wife's is still up. And I was like,
it does what it wants,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. Or somebody reported you.
Sure.
Or you just got noticed.
Yeah.
Or what? I'm like, if you want to take your wife's down, you could report her.
maybe she reported him.
Maybe she reports she was jealous. She didn't
maybe.
Like that he took
maybe.
Her idea.
But I mean, you probably see it all the time. I see it all the time. A company will divide their company name up mm-hmm. by first and last name, and that'll be their profile.
Yeah.
And it's just weird.
It's just not the practice to do, really. So what you should do is you should have your profile, like you said, which is you. What about privacy? Because that's why some folks do that, is they don't want their business tied to their personal Facebook page.
Well,
what's your thoughts on that?
So personally, I attach my own personal Facebook to our groups because mm-hmm. I guess I'm an open person.
Yeah.
But there are ways to privatize your account.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like your account's pretty private,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then on the other hand, you can have two accounts that are both you as mm-hmm. a human. So like you can have your business account as, you know, your more professional account, you could call it, and then your family and friends account.
And do you think, I'm not 100% sure if that's terms of service allowable.
I'm not sure.
Not,
I'm
but
not,
the likelihood of that being brought
right,
down is probably
right,
low.
Because they're both humans.
Yeah. But beyond that, on my Facebook page, I do a ton of stuff with business on Facebook, and I just choose that if I'm going to post pictures of jokes that I like to make or family pictures or where I am on vacation or just personal things, I share that with my friends.
Right.
And then publicly, I'll share that separately if I want to say something in a group. Like I've said, oh, you're going to Disney this weekend, I'm too. You know, I've said that in our Custom Apparel Stores Facebook group, but the rest of it, I keep it private.
Sure.
So you can, bottom line is you can lock down the privacy as much as you want on your personal page so nobody can see all the information
right.
that you're sharing to your friends. So Facebook gives you the opportunity because they know people conduct business
absolutely.
And personal stuff on there. And then in addition to that, there's also settings where you can have multiple levels of privacy. So when you post something, it's only available
right.
for your friends to
right,
see.
Right, absolutely.
And you can post and share other things that everybody can see.
Yep.
So next, so let's go ahead and tell us about, we talked about profiles a bit. Will you tell us more about groups?
Yeah, so groups are, like he said earlier, are huge right now with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook's really into this engagement and this community aspect. And they're a really great way to communitize your business. And there's a couple different kinds. So there's open groups.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can view it. Anyone sees it, their members, they pop up sometimes, actually,
yeah,
on the side. You'll see groups that maybe Facebook thinks you'd be interested in. There's closed group, so you can view it, but only members can see the group post. So you have to gain membership to see the post.
And, so you can search for this
right,
group, like
custom apparel startups. Exactly. Then there's secret groups. So you can only find that group if someone invites you.
Okay.
So I've seen both. I've seen businesses have closed and secret. I don't think businesses as much have the open groups
mm-hmm.
because you want this to be a really close niche of mm-hmm. your business. These are this is your target audience,
yeah,
really.
And if you decide that you want to start a group for your business, meaning let's try to think of a couple examples of what that might be. So you sell shirts into like a fishing and hunting community and you do apparel for them. So what you might do is you might start a hunting and fishing group. And we've
right.
talked about this in other podcasts. Maybe it's going to be for your state or for your area, or you just start a t-shirt group, you know,
yeah.
it's just about cool fishing t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start this group, then you typically closed is a way to go, like you mentioned, because it keeps it close. So people ask to come in, you vet them, you let them in. And then if they post things that you don't like, or kind of a virus in the group,
sure.
then you go ahead and kick them out. The problem with open groups is 100% of the time, if you have an open group, it's going to be 75%
right.
of people that are not your customers.
Exactly.
Just tons of people from India and Pakistan and
oh,
the
yeah.
Philippines trying to sell you you know, some sort of an SEO service on your page. And it's going to be, you don't realize on the Custom Apparel Startups group how often, because you had asked me one day about that, right? That we only let in like...
Oh, yeah.
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 How many, do you remember what it was?
How many people asked to be in the group?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's like about, I would say almost, it seems like almost 100 a week.
Yeah.
Every day there's like 10 or 15.
And then how many are like...
Do we actually accept... I would say a day, we really only accept like two.
Yeah.
On the high end, maybe one or two.
10%.
Right.
What are going to come in. And that's why you close a group up, because all the time we're seeing, you know, it's just, you know, somebody in India who has a digitizing service that just wants to come in their group, not offer any value.
Right, right.
But sell their digitizing service. And chances are that, and the reason why we're not going to have them in the group, they don't make apparel, mm-hmm. they're not there to bring value. It's pretty right. much, this is it's designed to be an American group because it's about our market here,
sure.
how we sell here. Mm-hmm. And that also for folks who want to outsource and things like that to other people in our community. So that's kind of a U.S.
Right. Group. And normally we'll see those people that are have no business really being in the group. They're in like 100 groups. So,
yeah.
you know, who's really in 100 groups?
Because other folks that will try to come in are, I mean, there's any type of spam stuff you can
right,
think of.
They're right.
going to be there. So now, we've got groups. I think the way to go for most of this is probably a closed group.
I would recommend closed.
Secret groups are...
Maybe, I would say, Mark mentioned earlier, like, going to Disney.
Yeah.
If you have a group of friends or even, like, long-distance friends mm-hmm. and you want to meet up at Disney and stuff like that, I would keep that a secret group. So
yeah.
I don't really see as much of a place for the business with that.
You don't plan on inviting on it. You don't want anybody to
right.
ask to join.
Right.
So a secret group you might do for your business, maybe it's just your customers.
Yeah. Or your staff.
Or your staff.
I see staff a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's actually a great idea one too. So you can make one for your staff or your customers, or maybe you have a little network of people locally that you do business
sure.
with, like a sign shop,
mm-hmm.
your shop, a screen shirt, maybe a marketing company, a real estate company, and you decide, well, hey, why don't we just make it all a little network together and we can refer.
Right.
But it's a secret group because no one else is going to be in there unless we invite them in and join.
Right.
So saying all that, then we can just wrap up with kind of just what other social media profiles might be beneficial to a business.
I think they all have a place. So Instagram is always, people love Instagram. I mean, it's more photo driven, I would mm-hmm. say. So I think it's important if you're considering an Instagram for your page to have some great photo content. Twitter is, everyone has a Twitter. I mean, it's great to post little posts and short engagement, I think, mm-hmm. is always nice in Twitter. And then LinkedIn is very important professionally.
Yeah. So when we're talking about mastering some of these skills, Mark and I would say, I mean, Facebook is just one of those ones you should do.
If right.
somebody is Google searching your business, Facebook's going to pop up towards the top.
Yep.
It will help drive traffic to your business. Most of your customers are going to be there. Most everyone's going to be there. Where not all of your customers are necessarily going to be on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram.
Absolutely.
It's really going to depend on what your market is.
Sure.
So that, like the, if you do like a kind of the fishing t-shirt type of a company, mm-hmm. that might be one where on Instagram, you're posting pictures of your shirts
sure.
and telling people where to find them.
Yeah.
And you're connecting with other people that are into fishing and hunting that are taking pictures of outdoors and t-shirts. And these images might be enough to drive some traffic to you or just help to build up your brand
right.
a little bit. LinkedIn is probably not as big of a place for that market.
Sure.
The LinkedIn would probably be if you do a lot of corporate wear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because all of those people are on LinkedIn.
Yes.
They're using LinkedIn too. So Mark and I have always said, go to where you know your customers would be.
Sure.
And if your customers aren't on any of the Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn that you know of, then you don't have to put a lot of effort to go there.
Sure. I think bottom line though also, mm-hmm. if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Don't just halfway do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to have an Instagram, then actually do it.
Yes, don't have an Instagram to for your business. For your personal, do whatever you want, right? But for
absolutely.
For your business,
right.
you know, because I post Instagram once a year almost, But I look at stuff on Instagram every day. So I follow a few pages. I enjoy going through it.
Right.
If somebody is on Instagram and they find your business and there's like one picture on there.
You haven't posted in a year.
Yeah.
Most likely they're probably going to think you're not open.
Yeah. They're going to think you're not open, or they're going to see you abandon this page,
right,
or whatever it might be. So now that we've kind of gone there, you had made some notes for us, Hannah, about kind of the purpose of some posts. So let's go through some of the purpose of these posts. And hopefully by the end of this, those of you listening out there will have some good ideas of how you're going to post online.
Right. So that transitions well into the first purpose, I think, people think of a post is to show activity. Mm-hmm. So like we said, if someone lands on your page on one of these social channels and you haven't posted in a while, most people might just think that you're closed. You have really small hours. You're not a fully developed business. There's so many thoughts that can, I think, pop into people's heads when they see a business social page that's not very developed or not very active.
Yeah, it makes you look, there's a negativity to it.
Right.
It's the equivalent of walking into a store and not seeing any employees, or walking by a storefront and you still see, you know, it's February now and you still see a Christmas sale sign up. It feels like, oh, is this
something
store, like,
yeah, what's wrong?
Yeah,
right.
What's wrong is a question that's going to come across people's head. You'd also put to selling online.
Right.
It could be another thing for posting. And this happens all the time. My daughter does skating, so I join a few groups that are set up by businesses.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is like a buy, sell, and trade group, and it's set up by businesses, by a business, that they post their own stuff that they custom make. So every fourth post is them posting something they make, and then in between that, people are selling some of their used skating, ice skating gear, you know, like outfits and skates and things like that. So that's a good example of what a group might be. And so this woman who runs it, she's using it to sell online. Her posts are, here's this, there's one of them, it's a size 10, the price is this, you know, a message if you're interested.
Right.
And plenty of people do this with all types of stuff that they custom make online.
Absolutely. And I've also seen, you know, people use groups to sell. I've also seen people use their business pages to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I think I'm a huge online shopper.
Mm-hmm.
I shop on social media frequently. If you're going to sell on your page, I think you need to have it organized. If you're going to be uploading photos of what you're selling, make albums, keep it where it's user friendly, where people can find what you're selling.
Yeah. And then what was the last thing you bought on through social media, do you think?
A sweater.
Okay. So that's perfect.
From a local boutique. A lot of their stuff they sell online. You comment, I want it.
Yeah.
You know, Cash App type of thing,
transaction,
right. And then it's my sweater.
Yeah. That's very, and you can do that too. And it, again, that's going to depend on what you sell, I think.
Right.
Because if you're mostly doing all custom,
sure,
then it might not necessarily work. You also might do custom, but that's replicable. So you might have a tote bag that you're selling or something like that, or a towel that you're selling that's monogrammed. And then you could put in there, get your monogram on this towel.
Right.
I've got five of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, message me. And
then
there's five left. And then one of the other things about selling online is be sure to update that post when it's sold or sold out.
Yeah.
That's frustrating for people dealing online, is they comment, I'm interested, you know, it's sold. And it's frustrating. And you can look at Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of that, what do you think about in our industry selling on Facebook Marketplace?
On Facebook I'm not a huge Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sketches me out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm never too sure about the sellers on there. I think that, you know, I buy from local boutiques that I know. You know, they have a contact information, but I don't know. I want to trust it. I don't know.
So I'm a Facebook Marketplace user, so it definitely depends. You have to understand who your customer is. I don't know if it might be an age difference thing. Because, you know, I grew up in a time where I bought and sold stuff like on Craigslist.
Yeah, no, I will not use Craigslist.
Which now is considered scary. But 10, 15 years ago, it was like, that's where you go and buy and sell stuff. And then, just like anything, things can degrade over time.
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook Marketplace, it could be an opportunity. Usually the issue with that one could be is that folks are not, might not necessarily be looking for the custom apparel or not. But I don't know. You should look up and see if you can
look
find
into
anybody
it, yeah.
selling monograms.
Sure.
If you do embroidery or selling custom t-shirts.
Right. And locationally too. Because I know on Facebook Marketplace, I've seen things that are not necessarily close. I mean, they're in Tampa or they're in the area, but they can be far. So definitely something to look into.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. Maybe we'll do a podcast just on that one day. Note taken. So what's the next thing?
All right. So sell online and then gain followers. Purpose of your post. I think the big part about this, the benefits of this kind of posting style is your branding and your recognition. Brand awareness is pretty key, I would say, in the custom apparel.
So essentially you're posting something that is share worthy, or if somebody stumbles upon it, is worthy of them. Oh, that's interesting enough where I want to see more from this page.
Right.
So it might be a particularly beautiful design you've done, a particularly interesting or funny design.
Right.
Or it could be either a themed niche design, like I mentioned about like the fishing before. Somebody might see that. Oh, I fish. I love fishing shirts. I have a ton of them. I mean, I don't, but other people do. I don't know. I don't know much about it besides there's a fishing pole online. But beyond that, somebody might see that you do ice skating type of apparel or cheer type of apparel or sports apparel or funny t-shirts. They see your post, it's share worthy, where they might share that funny t-shirt to a friend or tag a friend in your post.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to happen probably on your business page because your group is closed.
Right.
So no new people are going to find it in there. It's only going to be people who are already members. And it's not going to be on your personal page because your personal page is going to be your friends and other people like that. So, but on your business page, you post a particularly funny t-shirt and hopefully you will see people tag their friends who will also find it funny, or they'll hit that share button and share the post.
Right, right.
When you gain followers, we've talked about this a bunch of times, that gaining followers is, in a way, it's like points that you get on the internet that don't matter.
Right.
But it does do a couple things. You mentioned the branding and recognition. If you go to a page and they have 10,000 followers, that seems like it adds more clout to their brand versus somebody who has
15, 20.
Something like that. So it can help build it up. You don't need to have 10,000 for a small business to seem legitimate.
No, absolutely not.
If you're a small enough business and you've been doing it for a while and you have 1,000 or 500 or
something like that,
you know, I mean, that right there can say, okay, this is a local small business that has that seems like they're doing something. And that comes down to the social proof of it.
Of course. Yeah. And that kind of the activity aspect as well. I think it all incorporates. So like we said earlier, you don't want social media to make you look worse.
Yes, that's it. And you create a Facebook page, you post a couple times, nobody likes it. You have nobody likes your page, nobody likes your posts, nobody's commented. All that stuff, it looks barren. Your most recent post is Christmas special, and it's in the middle of February. So this, what you're doing here is you want to kind of grow that page to a point so when new people look you up, say you just Google your business name, or they Google embroidery shop in city, and the first thing that comes up is your page on Facebook, would be a wonderful thing to happen. If they click on it and it looks barren, they're probably going to hit the back button and look for a better answer.
Right. No, definitely.
So the next thing you mentioned, business information. We've talked about this a ton, so I'm going to let you give your take on it.
Sure. Yeah. I think we can tell now that I'm a huge like local boutique kind of shopper. I love online. I love clothes. And a lot of business pages post their business information on there. So what that means, hours, store openings, store closings. Big thing with local businesses is sometimes people are open traditional like 9 to 5, but they won't go in on Tuesday. So they'll post that on their Facebook page. We're closing up shop today, have some family things going on. Sales. They post a lot of sale information in a summary, a good summary of their business, what they sell, what they do.
Yeah, and that's it. It's not, the thing about that is, if you're a small business owner and you have a local page, you might look at the stats of your page through the Facebook insights and say, and it not seem like it's that big of a deal. Like 16 people went there all week, mm-hmm. right? And that doesn't feel very encouraging. But if you were to think about your storefront, right? If you had a storefront and you had 16 more people come in that week, you know, especially for a new small business, all 16 of those people are potential customers, are potential, could be a potential big customer, could have been 16 more orders that you got.
Right.
And then the referrals that they come. So you want to just take a look at whatever that number is. And all those people need to make sure that they understand who you are, how to reach you, and any of the other information, and you want to look good for them. So even if it is a small number, all of those people are potential customers who would have called you or mm-hmm. walked into your shop or whatever it might be. Then you mentioned engagement. So having good engagement on your Facebook page can be something that, again, like offers some clout and credibility,
right.
and will make your customers like you more. And essentially this means, you know, ask your customers questions, give them
polls. Let them make decisions.
Yeah.
Even if they aren't real decisions.
Yeah. And it might just be you're not sure, because we do that too.
Right.
We're thinking like, should we do A or B? And we'll just say, why don't we just ask our customers and let them decide? Because we're 50-50 on which one's better, but we only have enough time to do one of them. And then we'll do the next one maybe another day. So you can help your customers make decisions on that. Which mm-hmm. style of hat do you like better? I think it's important that this one is last, because if you've got nobody on your page and nobody visits it, and you are asking polls with no answers, then that's going to be just as awkward as having any of the other mistakes we mentioned.
Definitely.
At least if you have some friends and family who love you enough to want to participate in these things, if you got five or six of those that will respond and answer, at least you'll create some activity, and then hopefully that will grow for you over time. You know, our Facebook group and page, you know, they started with one person, just like everybody else,
right?
You know, so let's talk about some best practices.
All right.
Okay. What about frequency? How often should we be posting online?
I would say once a day. It may sound like a lot, but with good planning, once a day can be easy. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's not a problem if you don't post one day. You know, no one's going to freak out if you don't post on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But I would say best practice would be once a day at minimum.
You're not going to be you're not going to offend everybody. If you post one picture a day from your business on Instagram.
Oh my God, I'm being replaced.
Oh, well, Mark Stevenson noticed we're doing a podcast without him. If you take a picture of some apparel that you're making, of your equipment running, or of some of your customers every day, and you're posting that on Instagram and Facebook, you're not going to be offending anybody. And if somebody unlikes your page because you did that, then they probably weren't. They probably didn't care anymore.
Right, exactly.
That's why they went away. So I think they're doing some frequency. And then the frequency is completely adjustable. If you're doing, we talked about it earlier, if you do youth sports and there is a big tournament this weekend, it's not inappropriate for you to post 10 times, 15 times in that day. The pictures of kids getting their trophies, pictures of kids and parents wearing apparel.
Yeah, don't pass up the opportunity to post. If you have content, post it.
Yeah, if you have content, post it. Because that can be really good, because also people will come and visit your page and see you, and they'll go back in time a little bit. That's typical, right? You get to a page, and just to peek at it, you scroll down.
Oh, yeah.
And if when they're hitting that scroll button, if they land on a tournament day and they see, you know, your business with a bunch of people, a bunch of smiling faces, a bunch of cool apparel and event, that really adds some clout to who you are, that you're involved in the community. Oh, wow. Look at all these teams that they work with, things like that.
Yeah. After this, clout might be my new word.
Yeah. It's a cool word. It's fun. So talk about photo and video.
quality-wise, photo and video is important. You should have good quality photo and video, but photo and video also really enhances a post. Mm-hmm. So just posting some text, you know, it's okay. But if you can add a photo that relates to it, or even better, a video that relates to it, you're going to get some more mileage.
Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of goes almost without saying, right? But it's but we should say it since we're doing a podcast on this. But everybody knows that you when you're scrolling through things, you're more likely to stop at a picture or a video and check it out than you are if somebody just posted words.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And especially if it's a big, long post of words. Telling everybody how like the Facebook is changing their rules, and if you don't share they can steal.
Yeah, the one pictures. My dad did. Yeah, that one.
So it's a good idea. That's in your frequency, I would say, especially in the custom apparel world. If almost all your posts were just a single picture or a single short video, I think it's going to do great for you. And just a side note on that is, you can't don't count likes and count comments as success when you're starting this up.
Absolutely.
Like, just do it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a pretty long time. We have I don't even remember the number now, 40,000 people that follow us on Coleman & Company.
Yeah, I have
and
no
we can
clue.
Post one a picture that will just get one like and one comment sometime, right? And it's just, we don't know why. Because it could be, we could post a similar picture and it gets 100 times that. So maybe it was a really busy day in the world with some other piece of news. Mm-hmm. So the trend, everything else was trending on top. Maybe it was just
There's so many reasons.
So just do it. Continue to do it. If you build it, they will come. Kind of an attitude on it. Because what you're looking for is, especially if you're a small shop, you might only be doing 2 orders a week in the beginning, or 10 orders a week, or 100 orders a month. You know, I mean, you could be a successful shop could be doing 50 orders a month and 20 orders a month. And you're reaching a point in your business where your income is great, the size of your orders are good, and you are happy to continue your business almost indefinitely at kind of that pace and that size, which means that if it's 20 orders, a 20th of your business could be that one person that's going, flipping through the pages, seeing the effort you put in and saying, this is somebody I want to do business with. And they're giving you a check for $2,000.
Right.
So you have to consider it for the big picture sale, because you're not, Revlon selling makeup to a million people. So a couple other things on, the best practices you had mentioned tagging and page sharing. Do you have any comments on that?
Right. Yeah. Any opportunity that you can get to have people, you know, tag their friends or share this with, you know, like-minded, you know, the fishing example, I think, is really good. Mm-hmm. Share this with your fellow fishermen, things like that. Sure. Any opportunity, tag a friend that you would share this, that wear this t-shirt with.
Yeah.
Things like that, they go for miles.
Yeah, tag a friend who's in love with monogramming everything.
Right, which we all have one.
So that's a good opportunity. You can also, another thing you can do is tag people that are in the images with you. So you could, if you're at that sports tournament for the kids and you're taking a picture of one of the sponsors, you know, maybe like a local plumbing company who sponsors one of the teams and you made the apparel for them, you could say, hey, can I take a picture and tag your business in there? Of course they're going to say
yes.
And then they're tagged in there. Maybe some of their followers or friends or family or whoever might be might see that. And then it's all like this tiny little snowball that you're hoping to build up big over time.
Yeah.
So let's talk about then a social calendar. So the reason we bring this up is it's easy to say I'm going to post every day, right?
Right.
But how hard is it really?
Right.
And it's hard. It doesn't seem like it would.
No, right. It's like when we go through all this, it seems like a lot. And making a social calendar and just keeping yourself organized and pre-planning can really help keep you on track with the frequency. And there's so many ways to plan ahead. Like I said, if you have content, use it. So save content, have a plan. There's so many ways you can make a calendar. You can do it simply through Google Sheets. Something as easy as that. There's more advanced ways you can use. We personally use an Asana type calendar. But any time that you can plan ahead for the week, I think you're going to thank yourself in the long run.
What are some things that they might plan in that week or to rolling weekly? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Personally, we have what we do personally. So I have the whole calendar set up. And what I like to do is on Monday, plan my week. And I kind of have common themes, which can help things roll along. On Wednesdays, I like to do a common, you know, maybe a podcast theme. On Thursdays, I want to make a post that makes people make a decision. On Mondays, I like to do humor now. And now we have meme Mondays.
You wrote some amazing memes. It's good.
Right.
You're taking it to a new level. I love it.
Yeah. So a common theme, I think, can help things roll along.
So what I might think for a business owner, that especially somebody in the custom apparel business, for one, if you participate in something on a frequent basis, like if you are the type of person who goes to like the farmers market shops every weekend.
Sure.
So then... and maybe you could say every day when I'm there, I'm going to post. And then every Wednesday, I'll do the reminder to let people know I'm going to be there. Here are some pictures from last week. So there's 2 days right down you've got ideas for. And then maybe one day, Monday, you could do a theme of, say, like a back to the grind Monday.
Absolutely.
And maybe show a little video of your equipment running or you doing some actual work. Packing boxes, making t-shirts, things like that. And then on Tuesday, you could maybe share a customer story.
So I love that idea.
Every Tuesday, you share a picture of some customers that you've done business with and the apparel you made for them. We've already covered Wednesday.
Right.
Now we have Thursday and Friday. Do you have two ideas you can throw in there?
Friday's a fun day.
Okay, Friday's fun day.
I like fun day. Anything fun, maybe some like behind the scenes quirkiness.
Okay.
I think people love that on social.
Yeah. So that's a great idea. You can show if there's any bloopers from the week.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody, you know, made a shirt upside down, you know, here's this week's mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody spilled ink on the ground, which at first you're upset about because it's
so but
much
now
time
it's Friday and it's like, all right, it's funny
now. You took a picture of it and now you can say, here's this week's mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one day, Thursday.
You can always do general marketing for yourself.
There you go. Yeah. General marketing.
Just remember our hours. Or, you know, we're open on Saturdays. Remember, something like that.
Yeah, here's some things we do. Here's a, you can show a picture of one garment you do.
Sure.
Right? So if you have 30 different types of shirts, hats, bags, stuff you normally work with. You got 30 weeks out of the year set on Thursday.
There you go.
And then for the other 20 something, just repeat.
Yeah.
Go back to January and pull what you did from that first week because it's a type of shirt you're sharing. Nobody is there. Very few people are there every single week and memorizing what you did.
So exactly.
You just reshare another popular hat. And so there we go. I think we got it for you. You've got a full week.
That's a full week there.
Put it on the calendar.
Now schedule it too.
And schedule it. So when you mentioned scheduling, so what we mean specifically is you don't have to post it at that moment.
Exactly.
Meaning take a picture with your phone, hit post and go.
Right. Which is great. You can do that as it comes too.
Yeah.
But when you're scheduling and planning ahead, no harm, no foul in scheduling things. You can do this on Facebook directly through Facebook.
Yeah.
You can easily schedule things. I want this to go live on Monday at 2 p.m.
And you could do this on your groups and on your business pages. So the way that I would do it is, let's say Tuesday is a particularly busy day for you that day. That particular Tuesday, it's a busy day. You had 3 orders you were delivering.
Mm-hmm.
And all 3 of them were just like home run hits. Like you love the color of the shirt. You love their logo. You love the design. All of it around came up beautifully, right? So what you do on that day is you take pictures of all 3 of those.
Right.
And then on, I believe Tuesday we said was share customer work day.
Love it.
Right there, you go ahead and you schedule those 3. This one's going to go out next Tuesday. This one will go out the following Tuesday. This one will go out the following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 3 weeks in a row set up on 1 day's worth of work.
Right. And Facebook stores it. So you can see all of it that's scheduled. You're not just posting it and, oops, surprise, there it is on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You can look back and remind yourself what you have scheduled.
Exactly. If you deliver to that customer and they just turn out to be the biggest jerk constantly and you don't want to share
cancel
their logo,
it.
You can cancel it. Now, there's you can do this directly through Facebook, speaking of there, but there's some other tools you can use. Hootsuite, Loomly, and Buffer are three really popular ones. They offer free and paid services for monitoring and posting and scheduling social media.
Right.
Typically, folks will do this outside of Facebook just because they might offer a more robust tool or app that's
sure.
more interesting. Or it will post to Instagram and Twitter
and
Facebook
right.
at the same time for you. So you can program all three accounts in there, put one picture in, and it'll shoot it out to all three at the same time. There's plenty to dive into on that strategy alone.
Right.
Whether you should have different content for different social. But for now, if you're taking pictures of good things you made, it's pretty safe to just go and just share it out there. Dive deeper into it over time. So that's it. And last comment here was, we talked about it already, but a general rule is just post one a day and just go from there.
Right.
And if you forget a day or you don't have anything interesting, don't panic off of that day. Just go ahead and skip that week. And the days when you have a surplus of content, take advantage of that.
Right.
So we're almost time to wrap it up. Let's just throw out a few things to remember.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We'll let these folks go and actually do some of this.
Yeah. Let's kick it off. First thing to remember, I think this is super important. People often forget, even though it's social media mm-hmm. and it's more casual, being professional is so important. Spell check your posts. Look at your photos. Make sure they're good quality. Your mm-hmm. video is audible. Be professional. This is still your business.
Yeah, it's still your business. So a couple things. If you are not great at spelling or grammar, what you can do is, especially if you're posting from your mobile device like most people are, you can go ahead and open up your email app, write your post in there.
And let us post.
And your email app is going to automatically have some of that grammar and spelling checks
right.
in it. And then you can go ahead and copy that and paste that into Facebook. So, and this way you'll get your you and your mm-hmm. and things like that right there and there.
Right,
things
right.
like that. And it also gives you the opportunity to write it, read it, check if there's any squiggly lines telling you you spelled something wrong, copy, paste it, read it again. Now you've read it 2-3 times. And when you make your post, you're good. The great thing about scheduling too, speaking about that is, when you're kind of going in, like if on Monday you're reviewing what's going to be posted this week, you can reread that all again.
Exactly.
And then you can make sure things are good again. Compared to when you post live, you make a mistake, you have to go and edit it.
Right, right.
And then you
right.
edit that and you make another mistake when you make the edit.
Sure. And if you're scheduling through some kind of calendar, usually that'll have a spell check on it
yeah,
too. So
for sure.
Definitely read through that.
You mentioned about the quality, you know, I made a note in here, you know, no potato quality photos, and that, you know, it's old internet joke, but it means it's old. Some videos on YouTube in the beginning were so bad, people would joke, it looks like you shot this with a potato. You know, that's how bad.
Right. This is the first time I've heard this.
But that's really important. If you can't take a photo, if a photo's fuzzy, if the image is really bad, you're almost just better off not sharing it.
Like, yeah.
I understand that you wanted to share this picture with somebody or with this event, but if it's really poor quality, just don't even
right.
bother to share
don't
it.
Don't force content.
Yeah, don't force content. If you took a picture and you have to zoom in so much to get the logo that it's fuzzy, just don't even bother to share it. Just you'd rather just not have that there. Go anytime you're questioning something like this, whether your photos look good or not, pick a big brand that you already follow, whether it's a big restaurant chain or a big whatever it is, but any big brand that you follow, and look at their photos and compare it to yours. You don't have to be as good as them, but they at least need to be clear and not fuzzy or weird or whatever it might
yeah,
be.
Absolutely.
Let's see here.
Check your inbox.
Check your inbox. Tell us about
yeah.
that.
Definitely respond to your customers. Not only does your page actually generate a
response rate,
mm-hmm.
it's just great practice. If your customers are asking you questions via Facebook, just respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's short, if you're busy, just, you know, I'll get back to you or anything just to show them that you're actually there.
Yeah.
Goes back to your showing activity, really.
So this is if they comment on a picture or post.
Right.
How much is this? Where can I get it? I love this. you know, whatever it is, whatever they write, try to respond back to that. If they message your page directly, be sure to respond. Because it does say, Facebook will say usually responds in a certain amount of time,
right,
and you want to be able to have a good rate there.
Absolutely.
I think you can also control that too. So you can go into your Facebook settings and you could say usually responds the next day. And this
sure.
way customers have an expectation.
They know. Yeah, absolutely.
And Facebook also in their, in your business page settings, you can set up an autoresponder, which we use too. We don't, we get so many Facebook messages. Between we have live chat and multiple phone numbers and all this stuff. We have so many Facebook messages that it becomes hard to manage all of it, especially when there's a lot of nights and weekends when our staff's not here.
Sure.
So we have an auto one responder that when somebody messages us, and many of you may have started this way, it says, thanks for reaching out to us. We don't monitor this 24/7. If you want to reach out to us, here's our phone number, here's our website, et cetera.
Right. And no one would take offense to that.
Yeah. Especially if it's nice, you know, a nice couple sentences, and you could do that every time. Hey, I don't monitor this all the time, but it's really important for me to hear from you. Here's our business phone number. Here's our email address. Those are the two best ways to reach us. By the way, we're typically available from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. There you go.
There you go.
And then last bit here was just engaging in the comments, which is the same as kind of what we're talking about now.
Right.
Just in the comments. So one of the big things, if people are leaving reviews either on a picture or on your page, I'm always a fan of respond to every review.
Right. Even if it's bad.
Even if it's bad or good. Even if it's good. Even if it's bad or even
thank
if it's
you.
Good. If they say, yeah, if they love this monogram, thank you. I appreciate it.
Right.
You know, whatever it might be. Or I was really upset at this company because I wanted shirts in 5 days and they told me that their turn time was 10 days. Sorry, we're really busy. We're working on, you know, getting things caught up. You know, we're hiring some new people, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And you can respond to that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems it could be a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to just maybe take a little bit of time a day or every other day to catch up on this. Don't just sit there on Facebook. Like, you could easily get trapped in this all day.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So you had mentioned like designating some time.
Right,
to do,
right.
Like,
and
a certain time.
Exactly, exactly. Or, yeah, maybe like 30 minutes.
Yeah, so typically what I'll do in my routine is I'll come in here and it's like some of my waking up with coffee stuff. I'll turn on Facebook, I'll look at my notifications and I'll see, do I need to respond to anything? No. You know, and if I do, if it's particularly hard, like it's a really bad review, I don't necessarily let it consume my day yet at that point
sure.
in time. I say, okay, I'm going to have to handle this review. I'll do some research. If it's just a bunch of, oh, thanks, this looks good, then it's really easy to just type, thank you so much. We love you too. You're great. We appreciate you. And yeah, you're just reading them and just in my head, I'm always thinking like, that's a really nice review. I like this person. You know, I like that they said that about us.
Right.
And I say that out loud to them,
mm-hmm.
just like they were in person. It would be particularly awkward in person if someone came up and said, wow, I really love these shirts that you made for me. And then you sat there in silence. Right.
Right. So, it'd be weird.
I always try to think of these online things. Well, how might we handle it in person?
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
So, hopefully some folks here, you learned something new to do. I like to always leave folks with like an action item at the end of the episode.
All right.
Do you have something that you think when they stop listening to this and they sit down in front of their computer or their phone, what do you think they should do next?
I feel like your next step, if you don't have your profile, your business page, and a business group set up,
mm-hmm.
make your plan and do that.
Okay.
I think that's the most important. Just type out a plan. Just mm-hmm. make a plan in your head of what you want to accomplish.
Okay.
With social media. Go from there.
I like that. And I would say your personal and your business page, have those. If you're not sure on a group yet.
Right.
Like just hover on the idea and have that like as a possible long-term to-do of what
sure.
could my group be. And one day I think that idea will click. The what I would say some homework to do on this is if you already have all of this set up, go into it, go into the settings and look at all of the settings again. Look at anywhere where it's a description, hours, information,
right.
autoresponders, like do a little bit of a check.
Yeah, some housework.
A health check.
Yeah.
So do a health check and go through everything and make sure it's good. And I find that we do that here every so often. And every time I go into that Facebook page and go to the Coleman and Company or Cold Essie Facebook page and reread it, I find something again that I can add, remove, change, sure. update. And it feels good to go ahead and keep on top of that.
Right. Yeah. I like that one.
All right. Good. Well, I think we're ready to go. The way that we end the podcast is Mark Stevenson will say, thanks for listening. We end the podcast. And then he'll say, and this is Mark Stevenson. And then I'll say, this is Mark Vila. And then he'll usually say, have a good business. So
okay.
We're going to do that. Okay.
Okay. Which one am I doing?
You can say have a good business because you're replacing him like when he walked in.
Okay,
so,
okay.
So you would say thanks for listening.
All right. So thanks for listening. This is Hannah Rago.
And this is Mark Vila.
And have a good business.
That was good.
Nailed it.
Yeah.